Yo, what it do? We're back with another one. We're gonna have a little good chat about some anxiety. Fun. We don't ever want to really have to deal with that, but I think it's important for us as young people and the new generation, to really understand what that is and some ways to like navigate it, open up with it, express it, and never let it hold us down, right? So let's get into it. I got another document to talk about and chat with everybody with. We're gonna make me a little bit bigger. There we go. And what is anxiety? Anxiety is a mental and physical reaction to perceived threats. In small doses, anxiety is helpful. It protects us from danger and focuses our attention on problems. But when anxiety is too severe or occurs too frequently, it becomes debilitating. Here's some symptoms of anxiety: uncontrollable worry, poor concentration, excessive nervousness, increased heart rate, sleep problems, upset stomach, muscle tension, and avoidance of fear. So, by that definition, it kind of almost feels like anxiety, that feeling of anxiety, not necessarily, yeah, I'd just say like the feeling of anxiety is kind of like our spider sense. You know what I mean? When Peter Parker is, when he gets that sensation, right? It's typically a bad guy, right? It's typically a negative situation about to happen or negative person is occurring, right? So that's one way to look at it, is like your spider sense is telling you something is up. And after that, it's up to you to, really like figure out what you're going to do about it, So let's get down to the types of anxiety. And so far, I there's three, but I know there's a fourth one that a lot of people like to use these days, and we get into that later. The first one is generalized anxiety. An excessive amount of anxiety or worry in several areas of life, such as job, responsibilities, health, finances, or minor concerns like homework or tests, SATs, driver's tests, something like that, right? The second type of anxiety is phobias, a very intense fear of a specific situation or object, which is out of proportion to its actual threat. For example, a fear of giving speeches or of spiders. That's funny, we mentioned spider sense. To finish, could be considered a phobia. So again, an example is a fear of speeches or of spiders could be considered a phobia. The third type of anxiety, panic. An extreme anxious response where a person experiences a panic attack. During a panic attack, the individual experiences a numerous physical symptoms and is overwhelmed by a feeling of dread. So, as I mentioned before I started, that there's another type of anxiety, and I don't agree with, I understand it, but I don't agree with it because that type of anxiety is so limiting, and it's what they call socialized anxiety. You see, here's my stance on that. Socialized anxiety is when I hear people say that they have socialized anxiety, it's always in a social setting. And so if you have socialized anxiety and you're at a party and you're just there and you're not doing anything, I'm not going to say leave. I'm not going to be like the why are you here? Just go. I'm going to be under the question of why are you here? And you're not even having a good time. Because if socialized anxiety is you're just too, you're scared, you're in fear of approaching someone or making the first move or going out on the dance floor, and you're at a social setting where these are supposed to take place, then how are you going to have a good time? You get what I'm saying? And another thing, you could just chill. It's one thing. I go to a party, I'm just chilling. Go to a club, just chilling. That's okay. But if it's because you have socialized anxiety, if that's the reason why you're just not doing anything, because me is like, I could go, listen, you play the right songs. Oh, I'm dancing. I don't care. But then I'm also going to be like, all right, coach, coach, sub me out. I'm done. Fourth quarter, we up, we good, we out of here. See you tomorrow. Like, yeah, if that's me, like, I could do dancing, talking, chilling, just go and have a good time. But I'm also going to be like, all right, I need a break. But I'm not stopping myself because of social anxiety. I'm stopping myself because in that moment, I'm just not in the mood for it. So to me, it's like, if you're one of those people that say you have social anxiety, then how is that possible when you've already made it to the socializing setting? You know what I mean? It's like, if you're there and you're going to attempt to make friends, attempt to socialize, and you're just kind of like, checking the scene, 100%, I understand that. Because not every party, never, not every gathering is going to be the same. Not every setting is going to be the same. So it's good to check the temperature of the room. 100%. That's very smart. But you have to sometimes just say, I'm breaking these chains off and I'm going for it, So just have some confidence, and also go with friends. Oh, I hit the table. Like, if you have good friends, they're going to be the wingman for you. They're going to be the guys that know your limitations at that moment and gradually set you in. You get what I'm saying? So, it's all about, and then it's really simple as to this. You just got to put the work in. You really do. You just got to put the work in. Okay. As simple as that. So, moving forward, how does anxiety grow? So, as you can see, there's like a chart or a cycle, right? And there's anxiety. That anxiety then turns into avoid scary thing, and then that turns into temporary relief from anxiety. How does anxiety grow? Anxiety drives people to avoid the things that scares them. When a scary thing is avoided, there is an immediate but short-term or short-lived sense of relief. However, the next time a similar threat arises, it feels even scarier. This creates a harmful cycle of avoidance and worsening anxiety. So it's almost like, essentially, like the phrase, like throwing the dirt under the rug, and then it just builds up to where the rug is like so high and there's so much dirt. It's simply put to that, where you see the threat. The threat could be a test. The threat could be dishes. The threat could, whatever the threat, it should never be dishes, but whatever the threat is, and you just leave it alone, and you just, put your mind towards something else. Sure, you avoided the anxiety, but as time progresses, now you got more dishes to do. Now you got more trash to throw away. Now you got more bills. Now you got more of the same thing that you were avoiding, and it's not going to benefit you. And it's kind of like, it's easier to, it's fast. Everyone starts off with an A, right? But you miss one test, your A drops to an F. Or you fail one test, that A drops to an F. It's easier to put yourself down than it is to pick yourself up sometimes. So, just to say that, I hope that everyone, can take care of business and not let business take care of them. And lastly, and thank you for every, hey, thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching me up until this point. I really appreciate it. And I hope everyone that's watching this has a good rest of their day. Lastly, anxiety treatments. First off, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. CBT is a very effective treatment for anxiety. During CBT, the unhealthy thinking pattern that creates anxiety are identified and challenged. I'm going to say that again. During cognitive behavior therapy, the unhealthy thinking patterns that create anxiety are identified and challenged. Oftentimes, cognitive behavior therapy will also include components of exposure therapy and relaxation skills. Sounds good to me. Second, to harp in back on what exposure therapy is, during exposure therapy, the therapist and their client creates a plan to gradually face anxiety-producing situations, thus breaking the cycle of avoidance. With enough exposure, the anxiety loses its power and the symptoms diminish. So another thing to always keep in mind is that anxiety is within ourselves, right? And I know that everyone has different levels of it. Same thing with like depression and other mental disorders, mental health issues. It's not black and white. It's not as do this, do this, do this, and then it's gone. That's not realistic. But there is the work that you do have to do. There are the steps that you do have to take, right? So I think this is a good idea. Basically, it's you and the therapist. You create a plan and you go through these anxiety situations. And with enough time going through them, either it's kind of like you got 5 seconds on left in the game, right? You're the one to win the game, right? You're nervous to take that shot because you don't want it to miss. You're nervous to take the shot because in my air ball, it might get blocked, right? It's kind of like going through enough game time, you know, drills in practice, right? It helps you understand better pacing, better footwork, better time management skills. It gives you that confidence when enough shots start going in, when time passes and you're making the right play, making the right read. Because maybe you're not the one to take the last minute, the last second shot, but you're the one to set the play into motion as a point guard, like a Rajon Rondo, right? He could hit listen, in the bubble, he was hitting threes, but he's more of a primary playmaker than like a Steph Curry who can make plays and also hit the three at an incredibly alarming rate. So it's like that, putting yourself in those scenarios. So over time, you get used to it, you get enough exposure, and that anxiety and that nervousness, that crippling nervousness goes away. Awesome. Thirdly, relaxation skills. Various techniques such as deep breathing, I love, progressive muscle relaxation, and mindfulness provide immediate relief from the symptoms of anxiety. With practice, relaxation skills will become a powerful way to manage anxiety in the moment. So I really don't know what progressive muscle relaxation means. Maybe that's like getting a massage or like cupping or acupuncture. I'm assuming it's in that ballpark, but deep breathing is free, right? Breathe in for 7 seconds, hold it out. It can change your mind. It can change your entire mood drastically for the better. And then as I mentioned in another podcast I'm going to be releasing soon, listening to white noise, listening to sound baths, you know, listening to those types of sounds that are supposed to relieve tension and pressure from your mind and body. 100% recommend. And mindfulness, right? Progressive muscle relaxation and mindfulness provide immediate relief. You know, you always want to have an open mind, a clear mind to start in the day. You don't want to have what happened in the yesteryear. You don't want that, you know, past clogging up your mind. You want to have, you know, enough rest, enough recovery, and enough space in your mind to give yourself that necessary go-to to start in the day. You don't want to be thinking about what I could have done better yesterday. You want to have that space to think about what you can do better today. So I think that's awesome. Relaxation skills, exposure therapy, CBT. Those are three that I really, you can do all of them in the same skills. Uh-oh. We have a fire happening. So time to put those skills to work. Oh, nope. We're not getting burned down. No. We're not gonna burn. Huh. Well, my anxiety is going away. Whew. Wow. I'm just looking at my cat who's like sound asleep, not giving a, could not care about this at all. Yeah, I was about to get burnt to a crisp if I didn't do anything. Well, I guess we can continue. And last but not least, medication. Yep, good R, Big Pharma. Yep. Medication can help control the uncomfortable symptoms of anxiety. However, because medication does not fix the underlying problems of anxiety, it is typically used in conjunction with therapy. The need for medication varies greatly, case by case. So essentially, because people do not put in the work, they use anxiety medication as the problem solver. And as time progresses, our body gets used to that dose, and we are then in need of a higher dosage to then function. And unfortunately, that's how it is with many of this generation and many of people in the world, where we don't want to face the mirror. We don't want to face the music. We don't want to face our issues that are harming us. But what we will do is take some pills and then feel good for a minute, and then voila, we still have these problems. So again, I recommend the first three day to day. The fourth one can be a cherry on top, so to say, because you can do all three of those without taking medication, right? Medication, it is last for a reason. I am 100% sure it is last for a reason. Medication is not the go-to, unfortunately, because of Big Pharma, right? And that's how America is specifically, you know, that you're going to push pills into our kids, our young generation, without properly, you know, dissecting the symptoms of the child, and just say, oh, ADHD, oh, anxiety, oh, this, take that, take this. And you're taking five different pills for one thing, or whatever the case it is. So I, to all the youth watching this, medication is not the first, it's not the first option. It's not, it's going to harm you over on, and you don't want to take medication that's going to, you know, decrease your function ability, your engine. You don't want to take medication that's just going to have you just no, you want to take medication that is going to, it can just help relieve some stress to get you to where you need to go. So where therefore, when you are experiencing the relaxation skills, exposure therapy, and CBT, you are good enough to take it all in. As simple as that. So I just want to say to everyone, thank you for watching. I hope you all have a good day. I can't wait to put this out. To all the youth that's watching this and going to watch this, please take this and carry it with you moving forward, so you always know, hey, there's some actual, you know, information, there's information to learn, and there's ways to attack this anxiety. And I'm proud of you. No matter what, keep it going, and have a good day.